Father, such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Why don't you stretch your hands toward heaven? Lord, there's a confidence, Lord. There's an assurance, God. And knowing that you are my God. I'm your child, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't we applaud the Lord? Why don't we lift our voice and praise, thanksgiving unto Him? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your precious name, oh God. Blessed be your precious name, oh God. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. I feel so good being in the house of the Lord. Beg your indulgence. I know normally I do wear my coat when I preach, but it's a little bit warm in here. So if you'll allow me, I'll forego wearing my coat, and I promise I'll preach just as hard, and I'll even preach as short as I normally do. Deal? While you're standing, if you would grab your Bible, I do want to remind you as you're turning to Galatians chapter number 3 this coming Wednesday night. We will not have a midweek service. They are planning to start construction on the new roof tomorrow, and so they will be working on it from tomorrow until Thursday, so they will have heavy equipment, dumpsters, and things in the parking lot as they complete the work. And so I told the contractor that we would forego our midweek service, and that way they can take the time, make sure it gets done right, and they don't have to try to hurry. I don't know what kind of weather is going to befall us this week, so just all things considered, I figured it was probably best to go ahead and cancel service for this coming Wednesday night. Next Sunday, I do want to tell you that Sunday night is Faith and Family Night, the fifth Sunday. I have a special time, a little different, in that we are going to take some opportunity, not only to have a time together in fellowship and in a little bit of worship and praise, but also to introduce some drives and some things that we would like to see happen here in the next few months, in the sense of friendly competition, if you will, but also a competition in bringing people here to the house of the Lord. And so we want to introduce those things to you. And so coming next Sunday night during our Faith and Family Night, we will take opportunity to do that. We don't have all the details fleshed out as of yet, but just plan on being here and having a good time together in our Faith and Family Night next Sunday night. Galatians chapter number 3. Begin reading in verse number 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one." Everybody say one. "For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I'll draw your attention back to verse number 28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. All one in Christ Jesus. All one in Christ Jesus. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up and magnify your name, to give you glory and honor and praise that is so due you. God, we thank you. God, for the sweetness of your presence. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We can lift our hands and our voice in praise unto you as King of kings and Lord of lords. And that you reciprocate, God, that you bless, God, that you endue us with power from on high, that we leave here changed, renewed in the spirit of our mind, God, ready to go forth and make a difference in the world in which we live, God, to be lights in darkness, shining forth your love, your glory, God, to all those around about us. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. All one in Christ Jesus. Division is a device of the devil. To separate and to segregate, to pit one against the other, to cause division, to implement disunity in the body, to make us at odds with one another, to cause separation, is a device of the devil. It is one of his weapons that he forms against us, that he endeavors to use to cause division and strife and angst and offense, to cause us to be at odds, not only with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also with each other in the world in which we live. As we watch our world become increasingly divided over many issues, we need to be aware of a few things. While we as humans see others in accordance with race, ethnicities, cultures, colors, features, etc., because we only look upon the outward appearance. And let's face it, whether we want to admit it or not, we do make judgments concerning someone before we ever really get to know them. While we know it is unwise to judge a book by its cover, we are all guilty of doing just that. We in our humanity, because we do look on the outward appearance, because we do make judgments, and we do, if you will, size someone up according to how they look or what they have or what they wear, we are many times guilty of making judgments upon people before we ever really get to know them. I point this out only to establish a fundamental difference between us and God. You see, God simply sees faith. He does not see white, he does not see black, he does not see yellow, red, race, ethnicity, culture, colors. Those are things that God, the Bible tells us, he is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't see those things. They don't separate. They don't segregate. They don't cause him to judge differently. They don't cause him to look differently. The Bible tells us that in God, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. It goes on to say, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is one prominent feature. There is one distinguishing feature that God sees and that God longs to have, for us to have rather, in our lives. It is the feature of faith. It is a spiritual feature. See, we in our humanity, we often describe someone in accordance with their prominent physical features. Now, we do this because it helps us to associate. It helps us to understand who the individual is talking about. The other day, I was talking with a few individuals at the job site, and there was one worker, and I do not say this in any way to make fun or to mock, but there's one of the workers on the job site that is pretty tall, but he's oddly shaped. He's got real slanted shoulders and a long neck, and so he's distinguishable by that feature. And so one individual was trying to describe or trying to get the individual to understand who they were talking about, and they were trying to do it in a nice way, and they were trying to avoid the prominent physical features of that individual. And so finally the other person wasn't getting who they were talking about. He says, you know, the guy with the real slanted shoulders and the long neck. And he goes, oh yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. The other guy was like, man, I was trying not to be rude. I didn't want to say that, but it's like the only way I could get you to know who I was talking about. And we in our humanity, we
we see prominent physical features. We notice some things about people. We see things. In my humanity, the other day I was eating at Wendy's in my humanity, by the way. Never mind. And I happened to turn from the counter and I noticed this young lady. And I noticed the shirt that she was wearing, and I had to stop myself because in my carnality I chuckled because she was not, I'm gonna say this delicately. She was not someone that many people would take notice to. Okay? Physically, she was not what many people would estimate or would say was she was an appealing individual. I will not take the time to make description because I'm not trying to offend. I'm simply trying to make a point. But I looked at her shirt, and on her shirt was written, "Beauty is on the inside." I thought to myself, you know what? She's right. That shirt is right. Beauty is on the inside. And we so often look at someone and we size them up according to whether they are a good-looking person or whether they carry themselves well or whether they do not carry themselves well or whether their clothes are fitted or their clothes are not fitted. And we make all kinds of judgments. James warns us about this kind of carnality that we often implement in our own lives, where we judge someone based upon their apparel or based upon the vehicle that they drive or the house that they live in. And we make all sorts and we draw all sorts of conclusions about someone based upon our conceptions of that individual and what they look like or what they wear and what they have. But I want us to know that there is something that God looks for. There is a feature that God wants to see. There is, he does not care what kind of car you drive or how big the house is that you live in. He really doesn't care whether your clothes are fitted or they're not. He does care whether or not they're modest. But he doesn't care about many of the things that we care about as individuals. There are things that we look at and that we size up, if you will, that are of absolutely no consequence to God. We make judgments and we look at things, but there is something that God looks for in an individual. There is something that God wants to see, and it is simply the feature of faith. And the Bible tells us in the passage that where we read that we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It is the one distinguishing spiritual feature of all the children of God that they have faith. Now hang with me. See, that's interesting to know because people will say, well, so that means you really can't talk about individuals and preach about things that they wear or things that they do because God looks on the inside and it's just about faith and whether or not they have faith in God. Well, be careful with that line of thinking. Because James is very clear when he says, listen, but you need to understand a little something about faith. He says, yea, James chapter 2 verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works, but show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee faith by my works. In other words, faith will become more of a prominent feature in my life by the works that I do. You will know and others will know whether or not I am a child of God, not simply because I call myself a Christian, not simply because I label myself a Christian, but you will know whether or not I am a child of God simply because you can't see my faith by itself, but you can see my faith by my works. And so I don't just call myself a Christian, I act like a Christian. I talk like a Christian. I live like a Christian. I want to be Christ-like in my life because that shows that I have a desire to be a part of the household of God, to be a child of God, because that is simply by faith. James goes on to say in James 2:22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. By works was faith made, might we say, beautiful. By works was faith made lovely. By works was faith. Listen, if I'm really concerned about being appealing to God, and I could care less about pleasing man, but I want to be pleasing unto God, well then guess what? I want to by my works perfect faith. I want to by my works become better looking and become more beautiful and more comely and more lovely unto God. Because the more I work, the more I find myself doing and living and being Christ-like. Guess what? The better I look in the heavenlies, the more spiritually beautiful I am. See, my works will make faith a more prominent feature in my life. What I do and how I live will show, so much so that I can show others my faith by my works. I know I've run into those individuals. I ran into one a few days ago. Matter of fact, it was another guy on the job site. And he had called my phone and gotten my voicemail. And then when he saw me on the job a little bit later, he said, "You're a pastor." "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "You're apostolic." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I am an apostolic too. And what I wanted to say was, you could have fooled me." Now, I got to be careful because I don't want to judge. I don't know his faith other than by his works. But what I see and what he has made obvious to me in his works is he doesn't believe like I believe. No, just hold on. Just stay with me. I'm not judging him. I'm not his judge. I don't determine his eternal destiny. But what I would like to have in my own life, that if I ever tell somebody or I have to sit down and explain to somebody that I'm a child of God, I'm not truly being a child of God. Because I show my faith by my works, and we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the way that people know that I am a Christian is not by simply saying it, but it's by displaying it. By showing forth the signs of a changed life. By showing that I love to live according to the Word of God. Hang with me. But catch this. Division is what exists outside of Jesus Christ. Understand this. One of the reasons why we're living in such a divided world right now is because we're going further and further away from Jesus Christ. Because true unity can only be through Jesus Christ. And so division, separation, and segregation, it remains outside of Jesus Christ. He is the one who brings together. The Bible tells us that while we were apart from Christ, we were separated and we were orphaned and we were destined for death by sin. And the reality is that none of us had any hope of ever being accepted into the household of God, because all were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So none of us have any opportunity in and of ourselves to be a child of God. We can't. It's an impossible task. We cannot be and we cannot do what it takes to be a child of God. See, but Ephesians 2:13 says this: "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." See, there is one unifying agent. There is one. And it doesn't matter. That's why in Revelation they sang, a new song out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation. And the song that they sing, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood, out of every kindred and every tongue and every tribe and every nation. The one thing that unifies, the one thing that brings us all together. We are all one in Christ Jesus through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, there can be no greater unity than in Christ Jesus. There can be no greater unity. And I know we say, well, we gotta unify, and we gotta make America great again, and we gotta get back. But we need to understand something, that when it comes to true unity, we can gather under the stars and stripes, and we can say, God bless the USA. But we need to understand true unity comes in getting in Christ Jesus. And that's when segregation stops. And that's when racial divide stops. And that's when I stop looking down my nose at my brother. And that's when I stop judging based upon appearance. When I understand the blood of Jesus washes me white as snow. It doesn't matter what the past is. It doesn't matter where I've come from. It doesn't matter my culture. It doesn't matter my color, my race, my ethnicity. It doesn't matter. Those things fall short of having any consequence when they're covered by the blood. And I am covered, covered, covered by the blood. If there's any color he sees, it's red, because he sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees me through the blood of the Lamb. And so no matter where I came from, no matter what my culture is, no matter what my dialect is, no matter what those extenuating circumstances are, I am one in Christ Jesus. Draw your attention. Ephesians chapter 4. Apostle Paul writing said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? Because here it is. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We are all equal at the cross. We are all equal. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And if there was ever anything that was tolerant of all race and all color and all ethnicity, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. For my Bible says, and whomsoever will, let him come and partake of the waters of life freely. There is no prerequisite. There's nothing that you have to do in the sense of your culture. It's only the understanding that by faith and Jesus Christ, we are all one. That's why Paul wrote church of Galatians, said, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Catch it. So there's a reason why we don't have any pictures. There's a reason why there's just artist depictions, and they are just that, artist depictions. Because it doesn't matter how he wore his hair. Catch it. It doesn't matter what clothes he wore on his back. It doesn't matter what color his eyes were. It doesn't matter if he had a big nose or a small nose. It doesn't matter. Those distinguishing physical features, that's not the face of Jesus Christ. Those are not the things that we're talking about when we're talking about putting on Christ. We're not talking about putting on what he did in the physical, in the sense of his appearance, or in the sense of his clothing, or in the sense of his physical features. What we're talking about when we say put on Jesus Christ, we're talking about putting on his attributes. We're talking about putting on
his love and his humility and his long-suffering and his peace and his joy. We're talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ in his attributes. See, the reason why it is so essential that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ is because our unrighteousness and our unholiness, if you will, would not allow us entrance into the household of a holy God. We could not be his children. We would remain separated and segregated and alienated and foreigners and strangers and orphans. We would not have opportunity to call him our Father. We would not have opportunity to be of the household of God except for the blood of Jesus, except for the sacrifice of the Lamb which taketh away the sins of the world, except for what Jesus did. None of us, it doesn't matter our pedigree, it doesn't matter our family name, it doesn't matter our affluence, it doesn't matter our fortune. There is none of us that would have any claim or any right to being of the household of God had it not been for Jesus. See, that's why we have to be adorned with the attributes of the only one ever accepted by God. Catch it. That's why Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't get to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't. I'm the door. There is no other way. You can't get to the Father except through me. But in me and through me, you become heirs according to the promise. And I'm so thankful that without Jesus Christ, I cannot be accepted by God. But through Jesus Christ, I have opportunity to be of the household of God. Furthermore, I operate and I walk by faith when I put on Jesus Christ and I make no provision for the flesh. I get up in the morning and when I put on my clothes and I put on my shoes before I walk out the door, I better make sure I don't forget to put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure when I'm walking in the halls at work, I'm wearing Jesus. I'm wearing his love. I'm wearing his power. Romans 13:11-14, and that knowing the time, and that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not with rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You got to put on Jesus if you're going to cast off darkness and you're not going to make provision for the flesh. You have to, by faith, put on Jesus Christ. And when you put on Jesus Christ, you are identifying with the great family of God. You are an heir according to the promise. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we are all one. So that's why we call one another brother and sister. Because we realize we're a part of a family of God. That by faith in Christ Jesus, we are all one. We are all one. And there's no big I, little U's. There's no, I'm better than you, or you're better than me. We're all one in Christ Jesus through the blood of Almighty God. I've always looked at that scripture in Galatians 3:27, and rightly so, I often use it in reference to baptism. For as many of you have put on, for many of you baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. And I I read something and then I began to do a little research because I wanted to make sure it was true. I found it on the internet, so sometimes you gotta make sure that the sources are good. You can't just take the word for it. You gotta do your due diligence. And so I read about this, and so I began to research it. And I really wanted to find out if it was true, and so I stumbled upon a video. I watched the YouTube video, and I told my wife before coming, I said, I think I saw one of the most amazing things I've seen in a long time. It's cool. And so I began to explain to her what I saw. I read that the Highlands, those shepherds, when they would find a orphan sheep, a little lamb that maybe the mother had died giving birth, then when they tried to pair that little lamb up with a surrogate sheep, maybe even a sheep that had lost a child, a lamb, when they tried to pair that little lamb up with the sheep would reject. Sheep would not care, even though the sheep had the wherewithal to provide sustenance for the little lamb. The little lamb would never allow the little lamb to nurse and get sustenance, and if something wasn't done, the little lamb would die. Then they somehow found out. This is the amazing part. This is what I saw with my own eyes. If you want to see it for yourself, you can go on YouTube and search it. The shepherd went. He had this little lamb that was bad and was kind of squirming around about him, and he went over to the lamb that was dead. The shepherd pulls out his knife. He takes and he begins to skin the dead lamb. Amazing. He takes the skin after he is skin the dead lamb. And he takes that living little lamb and he puts head through the skin, the little back legs through the holes that he made in the skin, and little front legs through the holes in the skin of the front legs. And I said, man, this is crazy. And then he would send the little lamb over towards the adult sheep. And that sheep, which rejected that little lamb before, now come over and you'd see the sheep nuzzle that little lamb and smell. Make sure, and all of a sudden that sheep would turn and allow that little lamb to start nursing. And would provide for that little lamb because that little lamb upon it had been put. The sheep, or the skin rather, of the dead lamb. And when John the Baptist baptizing in the Jordan River looked up and saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Catch this. I could never be holy in that I would be accepted by a holy God. But as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. And I noticed as that little living lamb struggled and it bad and it resisted, as the shepherd began to pull its arms and its legs through that skin and its head through the hole. But when it was finally covered with that skin, all of a sudden the mama sheep came over and began to... I thought to myself, oh my God, what a picture of what it means. The price that he paid for my salvation. And because he died for me, guess what? As many as you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. And now I am made nigh through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now all I had for destiny was death. But because of the sacrifice for me, I now am accepted. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you're healed. He paid the ultimate price. For the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He died that I might live. He was rejected that I would be accepted. He looked heavenward and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that I could know he will never leave me nor forsake me. And we are all one in Christ Jesus. That through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made nigh unto God. And I'm so thankful. Is it essential that one be baptized? Oh, yes. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Because if we could truly understand what he did for us, if we could truly understand all the eternal implications of the price that he paid for us, we would be so thankful. And we would not hesitate to lift our hands, and we would not hesitate to lift our voice, and we would not hesitate to look heavenward and say, thank you that I am made one through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that all of us are one through faith in Christ Jesus. And I still believe his blood is enough. I still believe that when I'm baptized into Jesus Christ, that I put on Jesus Christ, and where I was rejected, I am now accepted, and I put on his holiness, and I put on his perfection, and I put on his righteousness. So, I'm so thankful. Oh, what an attitude of gratitude I want to display in my life. I want to show others around about me. I want to show my faith by my works. I want people to know that I am a child of God, that I am thankful for what Jesus Christ did for me. He paid the price that I might have life, and that more abundant. So, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. We know these things. I know that we do. But it sure doesn't hurt to be reminded of how awesome it is that you and I can now come boldly into the throne of grace in our time of need by a new and living way that he has consecrated for us. That is to say, through his flesh, that we are able, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that I put on Jesus Christ, and now I am accepted. And I should lift my hands, and I should lift my voice, and I should be thankful. We shouldn't be silent in this place right now. There should be some voices lifted up and thanks. We should point our eyes heavenward and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, when I walk out the door in the morning, I make sure my hair is right. Make sure my clothes are neat and nice. And I walk out into this world and rub shoulders with people who don't understand the price you paid for them to be your children. And Lord, when I do all that I do to make myself ready for my day, please, Lord, don't let me neglect. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to abstain from all appearance of evil. Help me not just to talk it, but to walk it. Show in my everyday living that I am thankful, and I consider it such an honor to be an heir of promise. Oh, that I'm so grateful that through Jesus Christ I'm given the opportunity to be accepted by you. Unto God by the blood of Jesus.
Your Son, Holy One, saved so I can live. See the Lamb, the great I am, who takes away my sin.
Writing the Corinth church. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. These characteristics used to be part of your life. These words used to identify you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Might I say it this way? You might have been all of these things or some of these things, but we're now all one in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? We're all one in Christ Jesus. For as many as you've been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't we applaud the Lord one more time? Thank you. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.